It's Pat and Stu in for Glenn on today's podcast. Jeff Fisher also joins us today, embarrassingly. We apologize for that and the negative actions that it might trigger.
I don't think we need to apologize.
We tried to move the studio so he wouldn't know where we were, but right. It was too late.
Yeah. We all had the equipment hooked up and everything. It would have been a pain. Today we talk about guns again and the idea that Republicans are coalescing around gun control. The president seems to be kind of on board with this one, and really we spent a decent amount of time today asking people who really support Trump if this is an okay thing. And there are certain lines that you don't want anyone to cross, even when you're a big fan. Is this one of those moments? And the reaction's pretty interesting, I think. We talked to a guy who heard Trump tweeting about, or read Trump tweeting about Baltimore, decided to do something about it, not just sit back and BS like we always have. And everybody else in the country gets back and forth in Twitter battles and arguments. He decided to go to Baltimore and actually help clean it up. And so he's been doing that, and it's a really cool story. His name is Scott Pressler. We talked to him today.
Point of personal privilege, please.
Yes, Pat. What's your pronoun?
She hers.
She hers.
She hers today. And tomorrow, I think I'm thinking about they, them.
They, them. Got it.
But we're gonna take you through the Democratic Socialist Convention, which... do we learn a lot from them. We learn a lot, and we can make this a more perfect society just by paying attention to what they have to say.
If you could stop using your personal pronouns like that. Thankful for that.
You don't like my personal pronouns?
Sick hearing that.
Oh, my gosh. A little stress here. We're gonna go into our safe zones and let you listen to the podcast.
You're listening to... the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Gun control is coming. We fought it back how many times? A thousand? A million?
Yeah.
Time after time after time, the same thing happens. Somebody, you know, we have a terrible tragedy, and then the guns are blamed, and then the Democrats come for the guns, and then the Republicans stand up and say, that's not the issue here. We need to go after, you know, what's wrong with people who are using the guns and killing other people.
Mm-hmm.
This time, a little bit different. Republicans are coalescing around gun control.
Mm-hmm.
The president is talking gun control and talking mm-hmm. executive action and legislation on gun control.
And he is floating this out as a trial balloon to see how you... right now, sitting in your car, are going to react to it.
And I'm wondering if, like his stand with, let's say, the deficit, which he doesn't care about. Now Republicans don't care about it. Like his stand with tariffs, which he loves. And so now Republicans are fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be okay with gun control as well?
I would love to hear legitimately from... I kind of only would like to hear from Trump supporters on this. If you're a Trump supporter and you think he's doing a great job, and look, we've talked about this. There's a lot of things he's done that have been great.
That are great, yes.
I mean, you know, the capital of Israel being recognized as Jerusalem is something that not only would a Democrat never do, but I don't think any other Republican candidate would have done it either.
They hadn't.
I mean, how long have we seen multiple presidents, but even the candidates, maybe Cruz. The only reason I say Cruz is because it was like the first thing he said in his first speech.
Yeah.
I'm going to move.
And he said
the
day
embassy.
One, that's what he was going to do.
Right. So maybe Cruz, but like 99% of Republican candidates would not have moved that embassy, and Trump has. And we've praised him endlessly for that without mm-hmm. qualification.
His Supreme Court justices have been good.
Yeah, I mean, certainly Gorsuch. Like, Gorsuch was a complete home run to me. Kavanaugh, he fought for through a completely unfair process, though Kavanaugh I'm much more concerned about than Gorsuch. But still, there's been mm-hmm. a lot of good things, and we don't need to run through the entire list of them. You know these things.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain things... that you wonder if are you going to be comfortable with them if these lines are crossed? I was, you know, I know you were on this bandwagon as well, Pat, and a few of us here at The Blaze, and some in conservative media, more I would say in libertarian sort of circles. I was very disturbed by the bump stock ban and the way that went down.
Yeah.
It was basically an unquestioned executive action by the president with... I mean, I don't think you could pass a law constitutionally to ban a gun accessory. What stops the next president from coming in now and forget the law, but just doing it himself and saying, you know what? Pistol grip is, it's just an accessory. They did bump stocks. No one fought about that. It's just an accessory. They could ban all sorts of things when it comes to guns. And again, I say this as a guy who is not a gun guy. I don't care about guns per se. I care about the Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
And I care about the Constitution and the process that it represents.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I mean, I once owned guns. I don't know what happened. I lost them both. I don't know where they are now.
You've lost your guns?
Yeah, so if they ever come for them, you don't need to come to my house because they're gone. Somebody took them a long time ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, right. So I'm already taken care of on the whole gun confiscation thing. I don't have them anymore. I don't know what happened to them. It's been so long, I can't remember now.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Well, then there's no real reason to go down this road any further.
No real reason at all.
Because you already...
But yes, we're big into the Second Amendment. We're into the Constitution and the Second Amendment. I believe in that. I don't know all the, you know, gun terminology, and we get taken to task all the time when we talk about gun terminology because we're not gun enthusiasts. I don't go hunting. I've, you know, done some target practicing. I like it. It's fun.
Occasionally go to the range.
But I don't do it a lot.
It's not a passion of mine.
Yeah,
and
but the Second Amendment is a passion.
Yes, in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it pretty clearly states shall not be infringed in the middle of it. It's really clear about that.
Yeah, it really is.
That doesn't mean, when I really want to.
Might be the clearest of all the Bill of Rights.
Right, because obviously, you know, the founders knew the second the government gets in there and wants more power, the first thing you're going to do is go after weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they made it super duper clear that you can't take them away. And of course, the Supreme Court has backed that up multiple times. So what they want to do is go back to the thing that's being, I would say, is the marquee proposal here is the red flag law. And the red flag law feels like the right thing to do. We talked about this yesterday. It feels like a good idea. Basically, the concept being if people around you are saying, hey, this guy does not seem stable. He's got a bunch of guns. I'm really worried. You can go to the authorities and say, hey, Bob over there seems like a psychopath. You should take his guns. They'll go in. They'll take his guns for a short time. Make sure that he really is a psychopath. And if they rule that he is, then he doesn't get the guns back. And everybody's happy. That's the concept. That's the happy telling of that story.
So that's a happy telling, too, because we've taken the guns without any sort of due process.
Yes.
Which is terrific.
Right.
I think we're all in favor of jumping right past due process and just go to the punishment first.
It's Minority Report, right? It really is.
Yeah, it's great.
It's convicting you of a crime that you have not committed. And this
that's
is
crazy.
It's not even being, I mean, at least they've got people in milk. In Minority Report, they're taking the guns before they even ask the people in milk. Like, this is like in Minority Report, someone went to Tom Cruise and was like, hey, I got a person over here I think the milk people should look at. Can you take all their stuff first? And then they take all the stuff, and then they'd go ask the milk people.
We haven't even found the twins yet, or the chick. I forget what her name was, but we haven't found any of them.
No.
At least get them first, right? Back in 60 seconds.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Pat and Stu for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. So we'd love to hear from you at 888-727-BECK. See what you think about this gun control. Republicans seem to be on board with it. The president seems on board with it. Are you on board with it? Let's go to Sandy in Ohio. Hey, Sandy, you're on the Glenn Beck Program with Pat and Stu.
Hi. I'm not happy with it. I called the White House comment line yesterday, and I told the woman that I will not vote for Trump if he... he said he would support our Second Amendment rights in all his rallies.
Yep.
And I'm not going to go for this. I called my senator. I called about five other senators. And, you have to leave a voice message. And I told them, we have enough laws on the books. They're not working. They can abuse this red flag law way too easily. And the Democrats will. And I also called the NRA, and I asked them, are they trying to talk to Trump and explain how this can go very bad very quickly?
Mm-hmm.
And they said they were, so I don't know, but I think a lot of people will not vote for him if he's going to I mean, we already have red flags, right?
Yep.
Yeah, well, they do exist. I mean, what they do require is due process, and that's what this changes.
Yeah.
There are plenty of red flag laws that exist, if you want to call them that. The difference is this would let you confiscate the guns
before you've adjudicated anything.
Right, what the result is.
Thanks, Sandy. And it's crazy. That's crazy. That's un-American. And it's unconstitutional, as far as I'm concerned.
I
don't see how that could be deemed constitutional.
I think so, too. And look, I think Trump has been really good on a lot of these things. And I think his record on the Second Amendment since he's taken office has been mixed. He's like, mm-hmm. the Supreme Court, very, very good. The bump stock thing, I think, was very bad. Mm-hmm. But that being said, I think it's not a core issue of Trump's. If you go back and look at, you know, his writing, he's written books where he came out for the assault weapon ban, right, mm-hmm. in the past. I think he's had a conversion on that, but it's not like a core issue. There's multiple reports that he's saying with AIDS that he wants to do this. We've talked about the clip, the section of the book after the Scalise shooting where he said he wanted to do gun control and have Scalise be the face of it because, you know, he had street credibility. You know, I think this is one of those things that he would give up if he believes the American people are fine with it. If his base is like, you know, look, it's one of these issues. Maybe you can get a concession on immigration or whatever else. That would be great. And if you can do that, fine. It's just a little minor shaving, a minor, let's call it a infringement on that particular right. And if he senses and the mm-hmm. White House senses the American people in his base are okay with it, it will happen. If there is a revolt and they say, dude, we love you, but you can't go here, I think there's a really good chance he doesn't do it. I think that is legitimately, we are teetering mm-hmm. on that edge today is where we are. I mean, I've been reading the reporting all day. You look at where the Republicans are. The Republicans are the same way. This isn't a core issue for Republican senators. They don't care. Unless your name, you know, unless it's like Rand Paul, you know, there's a few people who really do care about the Second Amendment. But a lot of them are like, well, look, we can give a little ground here, a little infringement. It'll help us. It'll take the political pressure off and we can do other things. That is the way a lot of these people in Washington are looking at this. And if they don't hear your voice, you know, they're going to go ahead with it.
Adam in North Dakota, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Hi. Hey. Well, I think this comes down to shall not be infringed.
Mm-hmm.
Plain and simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had enough infringements on our Second Amendment rights as it is. And this is just a step too far. I'll be done with him.
Appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Adam.
Okay.
I think that's, you know, I mean, I think that's going to be the viewpoint of a lot of people because this is an important. I mean, this is a God-given right, and you can't infringe upon it because we all know that you start infringing, it's not going to stop, and that's the slippery slope that you start sliding down, and it's really tough to stop once you start it. And so,
yeah,
I think a lot of Second Amendment believers understand that concept.
And I'll break a little news to you, and as if I'm breaking news to you, because everybody in this audience knows this to be true. But the second the left gets their red flag law, there will be another thing they demand tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And the next time there's one of these incidents, they will demand that, and the Republicans will fold on that. And then we'll give them that, and then they'll keep going, and they will keep going, and they will keep going. There is no, you can't give an inch on this battle. First of all, constitutionally, you can't give an inch. You're not allowed
to. Right.
But even if you were allowed to, the second you give an inch to these guys, they are going to try to take every single inch that they can find. And they will add up to multiple miles.
So what do you think of Republicans coalescing around gun control? The president talking about executive orders on gun control, legislation on gun control.
Multiple senators on record today, Republicans and people in the House, saying they will push through this and they can get it through the red flag laws.
Man.
And it includes other things, too. You know, there's one, where was here? Republican, say, I will support legislation that prevents the sale of military style weapons to civilians, a magazine limit, and red flag legislation. That's from Michael Turner, Republican. There's multiple Republicans. John Thune's quoted in here. McConnell has yet to commit Lindsey Graham, though, is saying he's going to be on board for this. They have a lot. And the president is signaling the same thing. The president has said multiple aides, they've leaked this to multiple outlets, that he is going to, he's testing the waters basically to see what happens.
Yeah.
So we're that's what we're doing too today. We're doing the same thing. We're testing the waters. You know, if you're a Trump supporter, we'd love to hear from you. 888-727-BECK. Is this too far or is it just, you know, it's okay. You know, he's done enough good things that we really like in other areas and we can deal with, you know, a little bit of erosion here on this particular amendment.
Jack in South Carolina, you're on the Glenn Beck program with Pat and Stu.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are y'all today?
Doing well.
Two quick things. A lot of people are missing it. If they remove the word guns from the speech going on from elected officials right now, remove guns and replace it with the word speech, how do you want to have the ability to not talk for 30 days,
yeah,
a year? Mm-hmm. Until some judge says you're allowed to speak again.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That is exactly how everyone...
You wouldn't consider it. You would not consider it.
Oh, no. God, no. And I also want to remind everybody who is a citizen of the United States, when the Second Amendment was ratified on 15 December 1791, U.S. citizens owned their own warships. And we're able to wage war against Great Britain.
Right.
It's a fair point.
Yeah.
It is. You know, really I'm thinking, true. Though, Pat, we go a little bit further with this.
Thanks, Jack. Really good point.
Maybe we do this with all the amendments. And at any time that we want, we can just, if we report that we don't think a person's going to be in a good frame of mind, we can go to the authorities and suspend particular amendments. Like I would say, right before, let's say, early November, we go and we say, you know that 19th Amendment? I'm not crazy about it. And here's the thing. A lot of the women I know are nuts. And they should have that voting thing suspended for just like a week or two.
Till December. First week in December.
Yeah, first week in December, can have that back. I mean, we just want to make sure that they're not erratic. And if a judge rules that it's okay for them to have their voting rights back, okay, of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. Mm-hmm. This is a sensible, common sense solution. But we'll just repeat, the 19th Amendment can be infringed a little bit for a week or two. What's the big deal? I mean, this road is not a good road.
You'd have revolution in the streets.
If you tried that.
Yeah, you would. Teresa in Florida, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Yes, good morning. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good, how are you?
I wrote emails and I called all of my representatives yesterday. I sent them about 14,000 word-paged document expressing my concerns about these red flag laws. And as a single woman in Florida, the gun is the great equalizer. Mm-hmm. It is the only thing that gives me enough time to save myself. On average, I've been in gun classes. On average, it's 15 minutes before a cop shows up. Mm-hmm. And these incidents took less than 4 seconds for the carnage to occur. Mm-hmm. And I told them, all of them, because I voted for Trump, and I voted for Senator Rubio, and I voted for Rick Scott, and I voted for Congressman Nast, that they intend to take away my Second Amendment rights. I will not vote for them and their agenda.
And Rubio's been one of the people who's pushed this the most.
Thanks, Teresa.
Frankly, he was pushing it before this. He's a big red flag guy. And look, there are smart people who are conservatives that think this is a good, sensible mid-ground step. It's not just liberals pushing this. It's not. And it's not just like rhino types. There are people who think this is a good idea, but you got to be really careful with it. I mean, it's not without smart people arguing for it. But I just don't see how you can go down this road and be confident about it. I mean, think for a second about the way conservatives have been treated on the internet when it comes to social networks. Basically, Twitter has a red flag law, right? Facebook has a red flag law that they implement. Certainly much more competent companies than our government. And they implement this idea, if people flag your posts, if people say you're too controversial, if you're doing something out of step with the community, Twitter can rule on whether you get to keep your account.
And how's that working out for conservatives so far?
Good.
Doesn't seem like it to me.
Again, this is speech.
Yeah.
Right? Now, this is not through the government, so it's not a constitutional violation like I think red flag laws are. But this is, has this worked? Dana Loesch makes this point in a column she wrote for The Federalist about red flag laws. And if you think the idea of people who are, you know, if you think the Twitter and Facebook thing's working out well for speech when it comes to whether your speech is too controversial, think about that applied to the government. When people say, you know what, supporting this particular group is dangerous. It's a terrorist group. I mean, gosh, you know, this is, the Southern Poverty Law Center said David Barton was a terrorist. I mean, you want to go down this road? It is a road that does not end with your guns in your house. I'll tell you that.
We just want to hear from Trump supporters. You voted for Trump last time. You're excited about Trump. What do you think of the what do you think of the potential executive order on gun control? What do you think of the legislation? The Republicans coalescing around gun control. Big headline yesterday on Drudge Report. Republicans coalesce around gun control. I wouldn't have believed you'd see that headline even 2 weeks ago.
And, you know, the Republicans in Congress have absolutely no spine, as we know. And yeah, they will back off of this immediately if Trump says no. If Trump says, you know what, no, we're not doing this, they will not even.
They will.
Because if Trump says, you know what, if you bring it in here, I'm vetoing it, it's dead.
Well, they're only coalescing around it because Trump is.
Right. It's true.
So
I think they would vote for it, you know, left to their own devices. Would they vote for it? Probably, because they are, you know, this is what Republican Congress people do a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
But if they are given the cover of Donald Trump, oh, they're definitely voting.
Absolutely
for this.
They are. This
will pass with 80 votes.
Yeah.
So I would love to see, I would love to hear from people, and you know, we'll obviously take calls from anybody any day most of the time. But today I would like, if you were a Trump skeptic, if you're a person who was like, I don't really like the guy, but you pulled the trigger at the, you know, the last second and voted for him, if you're one of these people who doesn't think he's so great, now's not the time to call. I would like to hear from people who really like him.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing this about to happen, what is your reaction? Are you okay with it, or is this like
because
a big lie?
Because we have seen time and time again, when Trump likes it, so do Republicans.
Yeah, that's
when Trump likes it, so do supporters. It's just a phenomenon that we've seen repeated over and over and over and over again. I mean, even hardcore people who have been talking against tariffs their entire lives, all of a sudden are fine with tariffs.
I mean, you know, again, shall we remember that Larry Kudlow is currently serving
right
in the White House, the guy who's like
right
the face of the free trade movement for 3 decades, and it will come out
that's
in front of cameras
amazing
and
that's
talk
an
about tariffs.
One.
So,
jeez,
you know, I mean, it is.
And be good with it.
And be okay
not
with it.
Not just talk about it, but be good with it. But it makes sense.
Yeah.
These tariffs make sense. We gotta stop China.
And I think, like, look, there's a big separation in that. Free trade is not a core idea of the average Republican voter.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
it is something that has been very central to the small government movement. But, like, you know, it's not something that the everyday person is thinking about. The Second Amendment is a different story.
Mm-hmm.
It has always been a major line for a, you know, for certainly a talk radio audience. Like, you don't, like, it shall not be infringed. The Constitution's important, and we need to respect it. Is this okay? Is this something that you can deal with? 888-727 Beck is the number.
Diana in Massachusetts, you're on the Glenn Beck program with Pat and Stu.
Hi. This is Diana, and I am the founder and president of a group called MA Number 4 Trump. And we still 100% support President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
However, we are making known that we do not want these red flag laws. Massachusetts already hears that.
Good.
So we are pushing. Last night I did my weekly live stream and telling people to send letters to the White House, emails from the NRA, emails from Gohl, emails from anybody, to tweet President Trump, to tweet the administration. We still support him,
mm-hmm,
but we have to support him this way, because we have to start doing some of the heavy lifting and letting people know that, no, we are drawing the line. We are not supporting red flag laws. Absolutely not.
That's great. Thanks for doing that, Diana. Appreciate it. It's hopefully that will have an impact on him when he sees hardcore supporters saying, don't do this. This is not the right way to go. Maybe that'll have an effect on him. I think if he sees that his supporters, his base, is upset about this,
mm-hmm,
Maybe that changes his mind. We'll see.
I think there's a really good chance of it, but they, you know, he's got to hear from you, you know, today.
And, yes, and, you know, today.
On social media, certainly Twitter is a good place yeah. for that sort of
right.
outlet today, I would say, making sure that, and again, I think you can be very respectful and,
yes.
and be a person who's honest about, hey,
and
I really.
And supporters will be respectful.
Course. Yeah, of course. But I mean, it's yeah. like, it's just like, look, we love you, man, but like not this.
Right.
You can't do this. And right. I don't think it's a core issue of his where he would see this as like a massive deal. Well, I don't want crazy people to have guns. I think we talked about this yesterday. It's a thing that feels okay.
Mm-hmm.
It feels sensible to be able yeah. to take guns away from a person that everyone around him says is a bad person. I mean, it feels okay.
And it feels okay. And you know, the other thing that feels okay are background checks. And he's saying that background checks are a good idea. Well, yeah, that's why we have them.
Yeah, we do have them.
That's why we do them almost universally. The only time you don't get a background check is if I sell a gun to you. And we have a private transaction between the two of us. And I say, hey, you know, I've got this gun, which I don't anymore because I don't know what happened to them. They're completely gone. I forget where they went.
They're irresponsible, Pat.
Yeah, I know, but it's something
stolen. It's been years now.
But it's been years, and I've just forgotten. But if I had them still and I yeah. wanted to sell them to you, there's no way I can do a background. You can't do a background check unless we go to a dealer and have you call in and do a background check.
I mean, look, there is a...
But, and you could do that because if I sell you a gun and it's proven later that you're not eligible to that, then I'm liable for that. And that's already the law. So if there is risk, if you sell somebody like a private transaction between two people and that person that buys the gun from somebody isn't eligible to own guns, then the seller can be held accountable as well.
Yeah, look, and there are...
So you take a risk not yeah. getting the background check.
I think it was the church shooting that happened a couple of years ago. And the shooter, I think it was that one. Was that... I'm getting the name. Is it Dylan Roof that is who I'm thinking of? Anyway, I think it was one of these shooting situations where the guy actually did violate... He was... Well, should not have been able to purchase the gun. Mm-hmm. Had the background check. It went for 3 days, and the government was like, well, I don't know. We can't really make a decision. And they were able to buy the gun and wound up using it in a mass shooting. And so one of the arguments being made is we need to extend that window, right, so that the government can now take a couple weeks to decide whether you're able to execute your Jeez. Constitutional right. Look, mm-hmm. that needs to be an instant system or nothing. I mean, 3 days right. is stretching it.
Yeah, it is.
You know, 90% of them, I think, go through and almost instantly, but there are that 10% that...
Yeah, you got to come back.
Yeah, and so, but I mean, 2 weeks?
Ridiculous.
You're telling me this... You're
come on,
telling
that's
me,
ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, come on, what year is it?
Right.
What freaking year is it? It's 2019. You can't do a background check in less than 3 days?
That's
ridiculous.
It's asinine. It's asinine. Dave in New York, you're on the Glenn Beck program with Pat and Stu. Hi.
Hey, how are you? I'm just calling in to get my opinion out there and some of my close friends and family that we live up here in New York. We already see where the gun control machine goes, and mm-hmm. We couldn't in good conscience vote for Donald Trump or any other candidate that pushes gun control and wants to defraud U.S. citizens of their rights. Like I said, we already live under it. We voted for Donald Trump because he promised to support our Second Amendment rights, because he promised that he was going to try to protect us. And
mm-hmm.
we were all hoping that federal legislation would go through, some Supreme Court justices would be in, which he has done, and hoping that maybe some unconstitutional laws that exist up here in New York would be reversed. And seems that it's going the other way. That's very troubling for us up here.
Mm. Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Dave. AJ in Pennsylvania, you're on the Blaze, or the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, also.
On the Blaze.
Mm-hmm. Hey, as well.
Guys,
you're
going?
In both, yes. Hey, how's it going?
Is this the Blaze? Are you sure?
Yes.
We think, for the moment, yes.
Hey, guys. So I'm a really big Trump supporter, big gun guy. And the problem is, if he does this, who else do we have left? Obviously, the other side and their candidates mm-hmm. are completely nuts.
Mm-hmm.
So that they're not an option. But
with these red flag laws that they're talking about, where anybody can just say, hey, I think that person's crazy and you should take their guns. That is the beginning of our infringements on our Fourth Amendment rights of unreasonable search and seizure. And it's slippery slope, and I think it's just going to spiral out of control.
I think it's true. And that's a great point. Dana writes about this as well. This is what Dana Lash writes in The Federalist. There's nuance to be had here for sure, but realize that it is an abrogation of due process to invert the order of innocent until proven guilty to somewhat guilty until proven innocent. The question isn't whether these laws do this. The question is whether you feel comfortable giving up a cornerstone of our republic for a safety dependent upon enforcement by a government that has failed at this before. And it's, you know, fails at everything else, too.
Yeah. It's so true. You're talking about the Second Amendment. You're talking about the Fourth Amendment. Mm-hmm. You're talking about the Fifth Amendment. Mm-hmm. Parts of the Sixth, the Eighth. When does it end? It doesn't. Once you start down this road, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. And can I make a very meager and mild proposal here, Pat? And I know this is something that we just can't as a society handle. But like, let's just say it's the right thing to do, the red flag law. Mm-hmm. And let's just say constitutionally you can do it, which I don't think you can. But let's just say you can.
Okay.
With all the certainty of human nature behind me, we should wait a month to do it. Because you never make the right decision in an emotional state right after a tragedy. You don't make massive financial decisions after, you know, your wife and kids were in a terrible car accident. Right. And you're sitting there being like, all right, well, this is what I'm going to plan X, Y, and Z. You want to be in a sober decision-making state. And right now, they keep saying, well, we got to do it. It just happened. We got to take advantage of this emotion. Think of what they're telling you. They're telling you we want to take advantage of this emotion. They're telling you we're not going to let this crisis go to waste.
It's like going to the grocery store when you haven't eaten for 2 days.
Yeah.
You're going to make some bad decisions.
You're
going to
make a lot of bad decisions there. Uh-huh. Yeah. So instead, when you're not
smart.
No, you prepare your meal at a time where you're thinking maybe right after you ate when you're full. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, my next meal, can I do something healthy? I feel good. And this is what the situation is here. You can't make a decision in this aftermath. And it's funny because you hear like New Zealand praised for this. Oh, well, they had a mass shooting and in 3 days they banned all weapons. And it's like, you're proud of that? That's a terrible way to run a government.
Ridiculous.
Like, it's like, every time you have a tragedy or some big emotional situation, you rush through legislation that's binding for all time. That's a terrible idea. Mm-hmm. Wait until you want to have a law. You want to have a calm debate about this at a time that isn't in the immediate aftermath over one of these things. You can at least, it would at least make sense to attempt it there if it was constitutional, which, by the way, it's not. It's just not.
And that means something.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, it's Glenn, and if you like what you hear on the program, you should check out Pat Gray Unleashed. His podcast is available wherever you download your favorite podcast.
You know, there's a thing that people do, I guess, that is act as if everything Donald Trump says is terrible. Like, you have to disagree with it. If he says the sky is blue, well, you say it's red. Mm-hmm. If he says Baltimore is not a nice place and needs to be cleaned up, you say it's a paradise.
That's almost an actual resort.
It's an all-expenses-paid sandals.
is basically all-inclusive resort.
Yeah. And that is what happened when he did a tweet about Baltimore. And it created a lot of activity in the media in which they went to defend Baltimore and confirm that Donald Trump
is
a
racist.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he spoke truth. I mean, there are a lot of rats in Baltimore. And it does have some serious, serious issues.
It does.
We all know it's crime ridden. And it's a little bit messy.
It is a little bit messy.
So, and even some of the residents went out to show you the mess.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, they were not hiding it. They're not happy with the situation there. But it wasn't all like negative activity that was inspired by these tweets. Scott Pressler saw the tweets, thought about it, and decided to do something a little bit different. And Scott joins us now. Scott, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good morning. How are you, gentlemen?
Really well.
Good.
Thanks for coming on. So you saw Donald Trump's tweets. You saw what he was saying about Baltimore. You didn't go and run and say, well, this guy's a racist, and go protest him. You did something else. Can you talk about it?
Absolutely. Well, you know, I was inspired by President Trump's tweet, and what I saw is a whole lot of talking going on. Everybody was whining, complaining, and nobody was actually doing. So I said, you know what? I put out one tweet, just one tweet, saying I'm going to Baltimore, even if it's me standing on the street corner all by myself, and I'm going to go pick up trash. And that one tweet went viral, and people all across the country were saying, Scott, how can I contribute? What can I do? How can I support your efforts? And so I never thought that Monday was going to be a nationwide effort, but it truly was.
That's fantastic. Mm. So you actually – now, where do you live?
I'm in Northern Virginia.
Okay.
Fairfax.
So it's, what, an hour or two? An hour to Baltimore from Fairfax? Hour and a half?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So you go to Baltimore and you start just cleaning up trash and things that you see in neighborhoods? And were there people actually there to help by then?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we drove around a couple hours to find the perfect spot. I really wanted to make the most difference in the most amount of time. So we were over at North Fulton and Westwood Avenue, right in the heart of the city of West Baltimore, where the Freddie Gray protests were going on. Literally, we didn't go to a nice part of Baltimore. We didn't go to the Inner Harbor or Baltimore Convention Center. We were in the heart of West Baltimore. And plenty of parking was there. We had dumpsters set up, and there was plenty of trash for us to go around. But here's the best part, gentlemen. The best part was the locals, within 5 minutes of setting up, came up and were thanking us for being there once we said we were there to pick up trash. And they came to help.
That's
people
great.
That lived there on that very street corner came by in an act of love and community to come together.
Did you see any rats along the way?
I only saw one.
Wow.
No.
That's
I mean
bad.
That very respectfully.
Yeah, that's great. Okay.
I have to make something very clear on this radio call with you.
Okay.
The people of Baltimore love their city.
Yeah.
They really do.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's not the people, really, that this is happening. The city is forgetting its own people. These are the forgotten citizens of Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Because take a drive in Baltimore City. What do you see? You see bandos everywhere. You see abandoned buildings, which are unsafe, hazardous, and a lot of them are owned by the city. Well, what happens at these bandos? Well, illegal dumping goes on. So I'm talking to a grandmother out there who says that her grandchildren have to go out and play in this filth, and it's unsafe, it's hazardous, there's glass, there, like we said, there was a rat literally there, dead in the street where the grandchildren play. No, the city needs to stop forgetting its people, take care of the bandos, take care of the illegal dumping, because the people of Baltimore shouldn't have to live this way.
There seems to be a massive difference in the reaction from the political class, the Elijah Cummings of the world, and the media. And then on the other side of this, the actual citizens, because a lot of, you know, outwardly obvious conservatives have gone into Baltimore here and tried to make a difference. The reaction from the people of Baltimore isn't, hey, get out of here, you support Donald Trump. It's thank you for actually caring for a second about us.
Which is great. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And business owners came over immediately. I mean, literally, we were there for an hour. Mr. Kang, who owns a store in the street corner, where literally outside of his store, it says, make our streets clean again. Mr. Kang brought over sweepers and said, what can I give you? Do you want soda? Do you want water? Do you want drinks? And he generously gave our volunteers some drinks. And then Mr. Williams, the funeral home owner, he came over and said, what can I do to help? He says, the next time that you have this, we're going to let the entire community know. So our goal, and I might be putting the cart before the horse, is we want to do more of these. And when we come back to West Baltimore, because we want to go block by block, street by street, you can bet I'm going to tell Mr. Kang we're doing this. You can bet I'm going to tell Mr. Williams we're doing this. And we're going to form a community where we all come together and just clean up the streets.
How can people get involved with that effort, Scott? Is there a place you can go and sign up and find out more?
Yeah, people can either go to scottpressler.org. Pressler has one S, scottpressler.org, or find me on Twitter. My DMs are open, even though I have 319,000 followers. I read my direct messages. So if you'd like to be a part of this, please let me know. I literally, I don't sleep. I spend all of my life
reading DMs, calling people. So whether you're in LA, San Francisco, Houston, Detroit, Michigan, let's start cleaning up our cities across the country and show people that we give a darn.
That's great.
Cool. Thank you so much for taking the step and actually, you know, doing something instead of just, you know, and like us just blabbing about it all day. But I do appreciate you actually doing something about it. It's important, man. And you know, I think other cities, I bet, are going to jump on this bandwagon as well and hope that you come visit them, because, you know, Baltimore is not alone here. And Baltimore was kind of singled out just because of the Cummings part of it with, you know, the little battle they have going on. But this is going on all across the country.
Oh, I can confirm with you right now, we're already planning in Newark, New Jersey, and L.A. Those are already going on right as we speak.
You might also consider San Francisco, California, which has a little bit of an
issue.
All right, Scott, thanks a lot. Appreciate what you're doing. That's great.
Scott Pressler, it's scottpressler.org, P-R-E-S-L-E-R, or you can get him on Twitter at Scott Pressler. That's cool. I love those stories. We had a guy.
It's awesome.
We had a couple guys on. I don't know. It was like maybe a year or two ago, that were libertarians, and they were just like, you know, we're just going to go fill potholes around the city, and they just went and paved.
And they did.
And they just paved potholes all around the city by themselves.
Wow.
And of course, obviously, the city had to step in and try to stop them.
Well, yeah. You don't want people doing good things on their own.
Or the guy. Remember the guy who they were going to spend like $50,000 on this 4-step staircase. And he decided, just as a carpenter, went out and just built it himself. And then they like condemned it. It was like a perfectly fine thing. And they tore it down and then rebuilt it for a new cost just because the city couldn't take it. You can't have a guy just doing some work on his own. Mm-hmm. I love when people do that, because
that
is really much closer to the vision of this country that our founders had.
No doubt about it.
You know, step up, do it yourself. The federal government's not going to even be involved. And we used to, when people would show up when there would be disasters, the people would show up to the feds and say, you know what, go home. We don't need your help. We're going to do this ourselves. That was the attitude of this country for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And it is really eroded. But I'm glad people like Scott are doing stuff like that. That's really cool.
I think it's just coincidence that Democrats have been in control in Baltimore since 1967.
That's a coincidence?
Just a coincidence. Yeah. It's a coincidence that's the case in Baltimore. And then, you know, Poop City USA, San Francisco, has had a similar reign of Democrats for the last 50 to 60 years. Detroit, Michigan, same thing. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, same thing. Anywhere there's high crime and a lot of garbage to clean up.
High poverty.
Mm-hmm. You're going to find Democrats
in
power.
We measured this statistically, and I think it was an inconvenient book. I think it was one of Glenn's books. And we went through and looked at the top 10 cities with the highest poverty rates and how often they had been run by Republicans in the last 45 years or something. I can't remember the exact time frame. But I believe it was 9% of the time for all of these cities combined. And it was like, you know, one or two people in one or two cities. And the other cities, I mean, 8 out of the 10 were 100% run by Democrats the entire time. And this is like, how do you not at some point at least try the other side? Try freaking the Green Party. Try the Libertarians. Try Republicans. Try anything else except Democrats. This is not working for you. And I think, you know, anybody who lives in these cities who continues to vote the same people in and then complain about the results, I mean, who's at fault here? Is it even the Democrats anymore, or is it the voters? Because you can change this. We have elements of our democracy in this republic. You can change things. And hopefully that's going to happen at some point.
It's amazing that doesn't occur to the people in these cities.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I guess they just sold on like, well, it's right. I'm not going to vote a racist in. I'm not going to vote some corporate fat cat in. Like all these little catchphrases that wind up in manifestos.
But they work. The catchphrases
they
work.
They do. They win people over, I guess.
The richest 1%. The millionaires, billionaires. They don't care about the little people.
What about the trillionaires? No one talks about them.
I know.
They're just going to
just get off scot-free.
They just skate.
Scot-free.
It's true, though. These you know, people like Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders went on the Joe Rogan podcast, which was a brilliant maneuver because, you know, Rogan has a lot of people who are on the right and on the left. It's a huge audience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Joe Rogan admittedly, but you know, he would admit that he's not like a particularly political animal. He's not like in those sorts of conversations. So Bernie got away with a lot in this particular interview. I listened to some of it yesterday. But at one point, Bernie gets to say, He said something like he will agree that 99.99% of gun owners will never do anything like what happened here in a million or a billion years, but we still need to ban assault weapons. And it's like, I don't even know how to deal with somebody who thinks that way.
I know, it's stupid.
You're going to take the rights. How can you let cars on the road with that attitude? We know that 99.9% of people who drive cars will be fine, but some will get drunk, some will intentionally run people over, some will be erratic with them. How can you possibly allow them on the streets? I mean, I can't even, how do you even talk to someone who thinks that way?
Totally bizarre.
Bizarre.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
An amazing conference that was held, a national conference of a major political party, the Democrat Socialists of America. And they held this conference in Georgia, and it was pretty fascinating. It was eye-opening.
What a window into our future.
Yeah.
Because you see, you know, this is something I'm going to get into on TV tonight. I'm filling in for Glenn on Blaze TV. Go to blazetv.com. Use the promo code Glenn. Save you some money. Love to have you sign up. I, you know, doing these things, and, you know, they're not exactly popular in the mainstream media, so we do need your support to continue to dive into this stuff. But one of the things we're going into tonight is this idea of a victimization culture. It's this, you know, and it's very well, the Mount Rushmore of this particular movement is the squad.
Right.
Every single thing that happens, they find a way to turn it into, I've been victimized. So the most recent example with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is some high school students were being idiots and, you know, being silly high school students, just like everyone was in high school. And they were doing some offensive things to a cardboard cutout of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Now, any adult, like a high school kid doing something ridiculous, you laugh it off. You say, oh, you know, come on. What's the big deal? Of course, in this case, because it's Cortez, you have the Daily Beast writing an article, including the picture of these high school students.
Oh,
making them into, you know, national news figures because they were silly in a moment. And then misquoting Mitch McConnell's campaign about it. And then Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez misquoting Mitch McConnell's campaign. And just, you know, turning yourself into, I can't believe this. Just so you know, you weren't actually assaulted. It was a cardboard cutout of you. You're like, I don't even know how, like,
oh man,
what kind of culture do we have where a congressperson feels the need to act all upset and assaulted over some high school students touching inappropriately a cardboard cutout of them? That is not a society that has a long future. And so
no.
You see this with the Democratic Socialists, which is the group that, by the way, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is a card-carrying member of. This was, I believe, the Young Socialist, or I don't know the exact name of the organization, YAAS. And they had some real problems being triggered just trying to get through basic business, Pat.
This is so amazing.
It really is.
It just shows that, you know, the generation of parents that has raised these kids has really done them some disservice.
And they look to be, what, 20?
Yeah, in their 20s, early 20s, maybe, and all socialists, and they can't handle anything. They can't handle anything. They can't handle whispering. They can't handle noise. You'll see. It's amazing.
Here's a couple of outtakes. This is the first one here. And they're all just being triggered, and I think you'll understand the pattern pretty quickly.
Right, quick point of privilege. Quick point of personal privilege.
Yes.
Guys, first of all, James Jackson, Sacramento, he, him. I just want to say
thank you for those pronouns.
Chatter to a minimum. I'm one of the people who's very, very prone to sensory overload. There's a lot of whispering and chatter going on. It's making it very difficult for me to focus. Please, can we just, I know it's, we're all fresh and ready to go, but can we please just keep the chatter to a minimum? It's affecting my ability to focus. Thank you.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Thanks, comrade.
Thank you, comrade.
Against name, point chapter, pronouns.
Privilege. Point of personal privilege.
Yes, go ahead.
Please do not use gendered language to address everyone.
Right. Guy's about to cry. Don't use gendered language to address anyone.
By the way, I got that backwards. YAAS is the one that posted it. It's Young Americans Against Socialism. This is so that's not the actual organization. The organization is the Democratic Socialist, right? So this is the one.
This is our national Alexander convention.
Yeah, this is the AOC organization that she belongs to. Mm-hmm. I should have known the second guy complaining about gender language did not sound like a young socialist. and I will say, I should not have called him a guy.
Thank you.
I used gendered language, and I apologize for that.
He just asked you not to.
He did. Specifically requested that one thing not be done, and I just did it. So I apologize.
I'm disgusted. I don't even know if I can finish the show with you today. He just asked you not to, and what's the first thing you did?
Well, I'll say this. I can't focus with you talking all the time. I am trying to focus on the show, and I keep hearing you talking and saying words.
Point of personal privilege, please?
Yes, go ahead.
That doesn't matter. It's my feelings that are important here. Nobody cares about yours.
That point of personal privilege?
Yes, go ahead.
Stuber gear, he, him.
Mm-hmm.
Just want to say I am very triggered by Marissa, our producer, telling us that we have to go for a 60-second commercial break right
now. Who are you?
She's just telling
to interrupt
she's
what
giving
we're
us
doing
a finger,
right here.
Like this little like okay. wrap it up I, signal.
I am,
and how can I focus?
I am
what
very
I'm doing.
Stressed right now. Yeah. I am very,
very,
very
stressed. I need 60 seconds to think about it.
All right. Oh, jeez. Point of personal privilege?
Yes.
I am he, him, by the way. Mm-hmm. He, him, she, hers. Me, mine. Mm. Us, ours. Those are my pronouns. Depending on how I feel. They, them. I've almost forgot they, them.
Do I have to use all of them?
Well, it depends on how I'm feeling on any given day.
Okay.
Right now, I'm feeling they, them. Pat Gray, by the way. I do a show, Pat Gray Unleashed. Immediately preceding this particular show, and then you can listen to it anytime you want on the podcast.
At Pat Unleashed.
At Pat Unleashed.
At mm-hmm. World of Stew, if you'd like to follow us on Twitter. And when I say us, that's one of my chosen pronouns.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Okay, so.
You can call me us.
Which I love. Mm-hmm. I love the, we've even changed what the words actually mean.
Yeah, well, them is a real one, because if you don't know, I think you're supposed to say them.
Yeah, they or them.
They or them. Mm-hmm. And but that don't, they don't make sense in the context of how you'd use he or she
right.
or her.
Hey, they? I guess. You know, in Texas, maybe our personal pronoun should be y'all.
That just encompasses everything.
Right. Well, y'all is the singular, and then all y'all.
All y'all.
Is the plural.
All y'all. So all y'all at this socialist conference were talking about things that were very disturbing to them, and we have more examples of them being
And I love
triggered.
This, because this is giving us a glimpse into our future.
It is.
As we continue to head down this socialist path, this is what we can expect.
Quick point of privilege once again. Mm-hmm. Hi, James Jackson, Sacramento DSA, he, him. I have already asked people to be mindful of the chatter of their comrades who are sensitive to sensory overload, and that goes double for the heckling and the hissing.
Oh,
it is
yeah.
also triggering to my anxiety.
Oh, no.
Like, the be comradely isn't just for, like, you know, let's keep things civil or whatever. It's so that people aren't going to get triggered and so that it doesn't affect their performance as a delegate, okay?
Okay.
Being comradely, Pat, is something... Not just about civility, but it should not cause anxiety so that he's triggered.
Yeah.
And that would hurt his performance as a delegate.
This kid should stay home.
Yeah.
You know, away from any sort of stimuli. I worry about him because if he can't handle a socialist convention, stay home.
The good thing I will say, however, about this is if socialists do invade, apparently we can turn them back by just whispering and clapping. And that's a positive for our nation. Maybe we don't need the Second
it's
Amendment
so
anymore. Maybe we could just whisper people away because the anxiety.
Or call them by the wrong pronoun. Oh, can you imagine how that would harm them?
Can you? Because
they'd be worthless after that.
Now, I can't. I don't want to be the one who would think that this dolt has an actual job. But can you imagine if this guy operating in a normal work environment?
I don't know how they get through life. I seriously don't.
How? I mean, I don't know if I would be able to resist calling him she.
Mm-hmm.
Or clapping loudly every time I walked by his desk, or just dropping books by him, whispering constantly. Like, I would buy a series of digital recorders And I would just have little conversations like this all over the place. So you just hear like mumbling. And then I would actually go in after hours in his cubicle and I would open up the seams of the fabric and insert them inside and just constantly turn them on throughout the day.
In total disregard for his anxiety issues?
I would go back and rewatch The Office for the 50th time just to take some of the pranks from Jim on Dwight and do them to this person.
Oh, no.
Because I just would not be able to take it. Now, that would be very triggering, and I apologize to him for that.
Sure would.
Do we have some more clips? You had some clips from Pat Gray yes. Unleashed that you found as well.
We got to play them because they're all just absolutely fantastic. Here's more.
I see that no one's clapping for me. It could be because I'm not engaging, but it also is because everyone's doing this, and that's really important because those loud bursts of noise, even though this is a noisy space, when we can do something like reducing that, that's really important. So please don't clap. Shoot up these. We have a lot of disabled comrades, and a lot of those are invisible disabilities. You don't know who it is that is having a more difficult time navigating this space, and this space was not created with all of their needs in mind. So it's up to us to modify that space to make sure that everybody is able to move in the ways that they need to move.
Okay.
Oh, wow, that's a lot.
There's a lot there.
First of all, are you still able to say disabled? Is that an okay
I was surprised
term?
By that, as a matter of fact.
Shocked.
Mm-hmm.
Differently abled, please.
Thank you. That was very triggering. And I can't believe he wasn't called on that.
Thank you, him.
Point of personal privilege?
Yes, go ahead.
We got to take 1 minute here, and then we'll come back with more of these socialists to understand how to communicate with one another.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.